What I was wondering was if you would tell me about how you you were starting to tell me about your university and could you start again when you moved over from England?
I was never at university in England. I was only in high school.
Oh, yeah.
The boys' school, high school.
Oh.
I hadn't finished proper speaking at a high school curriculum. So at the university.
Oh, I see.
However, the universities were so short of students because of the war that they were willing to take me on the condition that I made better marks than the average.
Well, that's not very fair.
Not very fair, no. So there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm.
So I started working hard and getting along all right. It wasn't so difficult, I found.
Yeah.
And then there was a big drive for volunteers for the army in the university. And several friends of mine, we all joined up at a big meeting and went up and sat on the platform and everything. And they allowed us to go on with our college work for the duration of the session, and we drew in the evenings. And then as soon as the college session was over, we were given our year without examination.
Well, that was nice.
But I didn't do any good in a long while. You know, I came back to the army and remember any of it.
Yeah.
And then we were mobilized in Kento, in Scotia. We spent the summer running there. And I got rather set up as ordinary drill, everlasting marching, right turn, left turn, all the rest of it. And a friend of mine and I applied to become seamless. And so we were given a signaling course, and later on I became a signaling instructor.
Ah. Was that Morse code?
Morse code, and there were flags, and there were lights, and lamps, and the buzzer.
Ah.
Three things.
Yeah.
And then I became We went over to England. And my battalion was the 219th Nova Scotia Highland Battalion. Merged in with the other battalions in a big division. And some of us were sent over to France as reinforcements.
How old were you then?
I was about 17.
17, yeah. Yeah. That's really young.
I think it was 17. I know, I think I'm wrong. I think it was 18.
Well, you joined up in what year? 15?
I joined up in You were 17. You were too young for us. Well, I don't know. I got very fed up. And, seeing everybody else going along and everyone staying behind, and we applied for commissions, officers' commissions in the Foreign Corps. Rather hopelessly, we didn't think it would come to anything. So we stayed after it went through all the various stages in the local battalion. I had to finally interviews with the commanding officer of the battalion. Well, first of all, with the sergeant major.
Yeah.
Then with the commanding officer of the battalion. And then another interview with the general commanding the division.
My goodness.
And then after that, I was sent up to London for super interviews in London.
Wow.
And then after that, I came back again. He came back again. Sat around for quite a long time, waiting for word from London. And finally, word came through that our application had been accepted. And we were going to be sent to, they wanted the battalion to send us to, turn us over to the flying corps, so that they could send us to, an officer's building course.
Ah.
And then we went through a course of ordinary training, just as if I'd never been in the army. And after we got through with that, I was sent to Oxford for flying training, not actual flying, but theoretical training.
Theory.
Engines and planes and navigation and all this.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, it was quite interesting, but it was a little bit boring. Very tricky, because if you fail on that, you're finished.
Oh, my goodness.
If you fail on that exam, those exams will never get any further. So you all have to work very, very hard. And I got through that all right. And then I went back to my unit for a while. And finally worked in, I was to report to Spittlegate, a place called Spittlegate, for flying training.
Oh.
When I got to Spittlegate, I was notified that my tuition had been granted, that I was now an officer.
Oh, that was nice.
And so we were in. We started flying in what was called the Armstrong-Whitworth planes, which we used to call Big Axe. We call them Little Axe and Big Axe. They're two different sizes.
Wow.
The ones in France were Big Axe, great big planes. The ones that we learned to fly on were Little Axe, small ones. Just single engine plane. They all had just one engine. And so first I went up with the instructor about a few times, and then the instructor allowed me to run the plane while he kept an eye on things. And then finally the great day came and I was supposed to go up all by myself.
Were you nervous?
Yes, I was very nervous. And then I took off with much speed. I knew how you had to go very fast in order to be sure of taking off. I got a tremendous speed up. And then I kept a straight line, not turning at all, right, on, in depth, until I got high enough up so if anything went wrong, I'd have time to recover.
Yeah.
And then I started making a turn, a little turn, all the way around, like, slowly. Did that once or twice, but then I came and landed again. Yeah. I said, I had to ride. But I've done a lot of practice landing to the instructor, you know. And then I went on doing that for quite some time. I became quite expert after time, and I even managed to loop the loop.
Wow.
That's quite a difficult thing to do, you know. And I've never taught how to loop the loop. The first time I tried to loop the loop, I made a mistake. I pulled the control stick in too hard, too far, too fast. And instead of going in around like this, I went straight up like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To find me hung on the top like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd been to my belt, I would have fallen out.
Yeah.
And different things fell out of the plane. And we just came over. And then, woof, okay. Well, I knew what I'd done wrong, so I went right at it again. Just took some courage.
Yeah.
And that time I didn't pull it in so fast. You have to get up a good speed first. Woof.
Yeah.
And you put the stick in gently and you go around like this. You go right around like this. And you don't tend to fall out at all because your centrifugal force is sufficient for holding your seat. You couldn't even stand up.
Yeah.
And after all that was done, I finally was passed as a pilot for flying. Then I had to go to Winchester.
What did you do at Winchester?
At Winchester we learned how to fight.
Mm.
I mean, what to do with our machine guns and everything, you know. What to do with getting your attacks and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. All very important.
Yeah.
And in fact, that saved my life, that stuff. but I learned how to escape.
Yes.
And then finally, I was sent over to France, not to fight, but to go through another series of practice work and training. They had a special course going on then. But for people who were firing observation planes, because nobody knew just what kind of plane they were going to eventually fly. Were they going to fly fighting planes or observation planes? They didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened, just determined by the scarcity of pilots at that particular moment. And I was appointed to the 85th. But I was pointed to an armed forward plus observation squadron.
Bigger.
And I went up. Just a little bit of stress, and then they've gone
more and more.
And